glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, everyone that's perhaps tuning in for the first time, and you have like no idea who we are. We're Redemption Church in Plano, Texas, and my name is Chris Fluitt. Hi, nice to meet you. We love this live streaming. We love this podcast, and what makes it so good is when we interact with you. So please push those like buttons. Please leave some comments. If you are tuning in for the first time, tell us where you're tuning in from. We want to meet you. We want to know where the gospel is being sent. Everyone, please let us know if you have any prayer requests, any prayer needs, or any praise reports. We have some contact information they're going to throw up on the screen. 469-467-8111. That's our phone number. info@redemption-church.com. That's our email. And then, of course, look us up at facebook.com/myredemption. All right? Stay in touch with us. We care. Some good news. We had a wedding yesterday. Let's give it up for Randy and Gracie Adams. I don't know if you see this beautiful picture over here. Isn't that amazing? I tell you what, I just was so thrilled. With all that's going on, they just said, Pastor, we don't want to wait another moment. We've got a life to live, and we've got love to give. And so they didn't let the coronavirus stop them. Can I just encourage you real quick? This thing can't stop you. Don't let it stop you. You don't waste a moment. You don't lose out on a moment with your children. Don't lose out on a moment with your family. Go right ahead and experience life. Life goes on, and love goes on. Somebody smash that like button on that one, because that is true. It's absolutely true. And then today is, like Pastor Marshall said, it is Palm Sunday. Happy Palm Sunday, everyone. Maybe you don't know what Palm Sunday is. Well, Palm Sunday is the day we remember Jesus arriving in Jerusalem. The people of Jerusalem took palm tree branches and laid them before Jesus. They welcomed him as a king. Let's read real quick. John chapter 12 through 16 tells us this story. The next day, the great crowd who had gathered for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and rode into Jerusalem on it. As it is written, do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him, fulfilling the word of God. Are you thankful for the word of God today? So the people in Jerusalem, they shouted what? Kids at home, what did they shout? You can shout in your home for a moment. Hosanna! They shouted Hosanna! And they honored Jesus Christ as the King of Israel. Yet many people in the same crowd would also be present at the end of this week, and they would shout something different. We're told that they shouted, crucify him. The very same people that said, Hosanna, this is the King of Israel, they shouted, crucify him. He has blasphemed God. As Jesus was being nailed to a cross, they shouted those words. Knowing this would happen, Jesus still circled up with those people. Knowing what they would do at the end of the week, Jesus still rode in on that donkey. Yeah. Knowing that we don't always treat him as a king, I'm talking about you and me, he still circles up with us. Even though we fall, even though we fail, even though we tell God we're going to do one thing and then we do another, even though all that is true, Jesus Christ still circles up with us. Somebody say, circle up.
Circle up.
I'm telling you, we need the Lord to circle up with us. We need Him. We need community. We need family. We need friendship. And we need intimate relationships. And we need them right now more than ever before. When Jesus came into Jerusalem in John chapter 12, we know from prophecy that He did not come to be enthroned as a king. See, they didn't understand that. But Jesus didn't come that moment to be enthroned as a king. Instead, Jesus came to suffer and to serve. I want to talk to you today about the suffering circle. The suffering circle. Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus will come back to earth, and all the world will crown Him as king. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. This will happen. You mark my words, it will. But when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey's colt, He didn't come to be their king at that moment. He came to suffer at their very hands. Jesus came to suffer. Isaiah prophesied much about this in chapter 53, about the suffering. Let's look at it together. Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 3. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, He was despised, and we held Him in low esteem. Surely He took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered Him punished by God, stricken by Him, and afflicted. Verse 5. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him, and by His wounds we are healed. Anybody believe that's talking about Jesus? It is. Jesus came to suffer. He's called a man of suffering. Surely He took up our pain, and He bore our suffering. Jesus came to suffer. He came to be pierced for our transgressions on the cross of Calvary. Jesus came to be crushed for our iniquities. That happened. Yes, it did. He came to take on punishment that was meant for us. Jesus came to suffer wounds, and those wounds were for us, and those wounds are our healing. Yes. Suffering circles. Jesus did not avoid suffering. Jesus suffered for His circle. Now you and me, church, listen, do we avoid suffering? I'll wait while you think about it, right? It didn't take you long, right? We avoid suffering. Are you willing to suffer for those around you? Are we even aware that God in His Word calls us to suffer? These verses about suffering are just as true as the verses you love. These verses I'm about to bring you are just as true as the verses on prosperity, the verses on blessing, and the verses on love. I'm going to read these verses. You decide if you believe them. John chapter 16, 33. Jesus says, "In this world you will have troubles." Luke 14, 27, Jesus says, "Whoever doesn't carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Philippians 3 and 10, Paul said, "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death." Psalm 119, 71, "It was good for me to be afflicted, so that I might learn Your decrees." Romans 5 and 3. "We also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance." Romans 8, 35. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 4. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort." Verse 4. who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 through 13. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange has happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. There are many, many more scriptures about suffering for Christ, suffering in Christ. Now here's the deal. I can't find a single bumper sticker with those verses on it. I can't find a single t-shirt that says, "Oh yes, it was good that I was afflicted." I can't find it. No bracelets. Can't find any bracelets. Find a lot of WWJD, but I can't find any bracelets that highlight those verses right there. I can't think of a worship song that really uses these scriptures about suffering, but you listen to me. These verses are true, and these verses are for you right now. With all that we're going through, these verses, the Lord wants to speak to us about suffering for Him in the body. The Church of Jesus Christ should be a suffering circle. 1 Peter chapter 4, 1 through 2 says this: "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourself also with the same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God." Christ suffered where? In his body. Pastor Marshall, you know there are some people that believe Christ didn't actually come in the flesh. He was just a spirit entity. That is wrong. He not only came in the flesh, but he suffered in his flesh. He felt every bit of the suffering. We're talking physical suffering, emotional suffering, and spiritual suffering. All three of those kinds of sufferings, he experienced every single one of them in his body. For real. Christ suffered in his body. And then what does it say? Arm yourself. What do you do when you arm yourself? Does that sound like a weapon? Does that sound like a weapon? That is a weapon. Arm yourself with the same attitude that you're willing to suffer in your body for the people you love. And whoever suffers in the body, what does it say? Is done with sin. Whoever suffers in their body is done with sin. I was thinking this week, that is quite the claim there, Peter. Because haven't we all been trying to be done with sin? Yes, all my life as a Christian, I've been trying to be done with sin. And right here in God's word, it says, whoever suffers in the body, they are done with sin. So I spent time trying to understand that this week. Before I just jump into it, I want you to think about that. What does that really mean? What is that about? How can suffering end sin? Well, this is what I came up with from the Lord. Pleasure for self is sin's calling card. Can you say that with me? Pleasure for self is sin's calling card. And suffering for others is love's calling card. Say those words with me. Suffering for others is love's calling card. Pleasure for self. The temptation for sin is self-centered pleasure all the time. The temptation for sin is self-centered pleasure. Suffering for others is love's calling card. What does that mean? Suffering is not a temptation ever, but a cost we become willing to pay because of love. When Satan tried to tempt Eve into sin, he did not tempt her with suffering, did he? He didn't say, "Oh, Eve, you definitely want to eat of this fruit, because when you eat of this fruit, One day you're going to have one son who bashes another son in the head, and you will never stop crying from the fact that he is no longer with you. His name's going to be Abel, and you are going to scream out as his body is lowered into the ground for the last time. And then you're going to scream all the more as the killer of that son, your other son, Cain, you no longer see again. You are going to die yourself, and you're going to have pain, and you're going to have aches, and you're going to have torment, and you're going to have so much regret. Did Satan unload any of that for her? No, not at all, because suffering is never a temptation. What did Satan tempt her with? Satan tempted her with self-centered pleasure. When Satan himself fell into sin, it was self-centered pleasure that tempted him. He said, I will be like the Most High, self-centered, ego-driven, pride. Whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. So do you want to be done with sin? Yes. Are you willing to suffer? No, hold on with me. Listen. Are you willing to suffer, or will you avoid suffering to follow after the temptation of self-centered pleasure? They really can't operate in the same space. They really can't operate in the same heart. All sin is rooted in self. You think a little bit. If I'm wrong, you let me know. But I really believe all sin is rooted in ourselves. The willingness to suffer for others is rooted in love for someone else. Take a moment and try to think of a sin that can't be answered by saying no to pleasure and embracing suffering. Let's think for a moment. Pride. So pride, if pride's a sin, I'm going to say no to pride, right? But how would that be suffering? Well, because I would stop worrying about what people thought of me. And I might do things that are different and actually suffer a little bit from that. Yeah, absolutely. Suffer the worry about what other people think and walking right into that. And that will destroy your pride. Guess what? Worship is a pride destroyer. If you want to worship God, you have to defeat pride and you have to suffer a little bit. I worship, I jump around like a fool. I've actually been called a fool, but I want to tell you I'm still willing to suffer. But pride leads me to self-centered pleasure. How about this? Greed. Can we see how greed would work that way? Greed is self-centered pleasure. What I want. You want to defeat greed? Learn to give. Learn to care for others. And guess what? You will suffer the loss of money. You will suffer the loss of time. You will suffer the loss of emotional angst because loving other people will give that to you. Lust. About lying. Lust. Lust is self-centered pleasure. But no, I'm going to suffer and I'm going to say no to that because I love the people I have commitments to. And lying, oh my goodness, have you ever told the truth and suffered for it? Yeah, it's tough to tell the truth sometimes. But you, by avoiding that pleasure of, I'll just get by with it, no one will know, you will suffer, but you will also avoid sin. The more I think about it, the more I know that it's true, that sin is answered through suffering and saying no to self-centered temptation. Have you joined the suffering circle of Jesus Christ? Jesus did not avoid suffering ever. He actually came into the city to suffer. Redemption Church, why are we here? He came to the city to suffer. Why are we here? Why are we planting this church here? Why did God call us to this city? Jesus came to the city to suffer. Why are we here? What is your mental image of suffering? I want you to think about that for a moment. What does suffering look like? Now, at its most extreme, suffering looks like Jesus on the cross, right? Nails in his hands, nails in his feet, crown of thorns on his head, stripped and humiliated, beaten and betrayed, wrongly accused. You got that picture? I have a hard time seeing myself willing to suffer at that extreme for others. Honest. Can we be honest enough to say that today? Anyone feel honest enough to go, yeah, that's pretty true. It's pretty hard, whew, to suffer like Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us that Jesus suffered more than any other and was actually disfigured beyond recognition, Isaiah 52 and 14. I'm not sure anyone can suffer to his extent, honestly, because his love for us is beyond measure, and that's why he suffered. In fact, he tells Pilate, you know, I'm the one who lays my life down. You don't take my life from you. I'm actually suffering under my own decision making, my own choice. He did that for love because his love is beyond measure. But we also see in Scripture and in early church history, Christians who were willing to suffer greatly for Christ. It happened so much that it would be considered unusual to be a Christian and not experience suffering for Jesus. Yes, in the early church, Stephen was stoned to death. James was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. Thomas run through with a spear. Paul imprisoned and beheaded. John boiled in oil and survived to be left on a deserted prison island called Patmos. I say this to tell you that our willingness to suffer, honestly, has a lot of room to grow. But also, I would have you see suffering beyond physical persecution. All right, that was really heavy. Can I give you what my friend Scott Fain would call low-hanging fruit? Can I give you some of that? Instead of being run through a spear, that's not the only way to suffer. The only way to suffer, believe it or not, is not being imprisoned in a third world and killed the next morning. But there are other ways to suffer, and I want you to grab onto this and start embracing this lifestyle. When you pray, you're suffering. Well, yes, when you pray, you're saying no to self-centered temptation that would want to do any other thing, and you are talking straight to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're placing him as the authority in your life. And there is an amount of suffering to that. When you read your Bible, don't you know you could be watching YouTube cat videos? You really could. You could be watching all of the Nicolas Cage films that have ever been made. But no, you're going to suffer that, and you're going to go read the Word of God. When you give, you reach into your pocket and you pull out some dollar bills and you give those. And guess what? You have less of those dollar bills. Those dollar bills are gone and you suffered at least that much. Every time you give, you are embracing suffering. When you worship, you're giving your time, you're giving your focus, you're giving your energy, you're giving your heart. You are stepping away from what other people think, and you are stepping up and saying, God, I don't care about that. I love you, and I want to be in your presence. You're embracing suffering. When you help someone, when you serve others, that is suffering. Did you not realize that? You could have driven past that car with the flat tire, but you pulled over and you spent some time. Now you have less time for you. Now you have less strength for you, and you have suffered for loving someone else. When you forgive, you are suffering. You are letting go of hurt. You are letting go of past things that were said. And you are forgiving. And that takes some suffering on your part. You are letting go of those things. You don't have those things anymore. You have suffered them and they are gone. Right now, as you're watching this, you are suffering. Congratulations. You're suffering right now. Sorry, my preaching is causing you to suffer, but here's why you're suffering. You're suffering because there are many self-centered pleasures you could be giving your focus to right now. But you are saying no to those things, to embrace this Word of God, to embrace the presence of God. And in a few moments, we're going to talk to this God. What does suffering look like? Let me ask you this. Does it look like us? No. Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And that's where the verse ends. Is that where the verse ends?
No,
it says, mourn with those who mourn. Life in a circle is not all about you. Life in a circle becomes, how can I connect? How can I serve? How can I love those in this circle? When someone rejoices, the entire circle is to rejoice with them. Yeah, but that happened to them. It didn't happen. You know, I'd rejoice if it happened to me. No, no, no. No, that's not how circles work. When one person in the circle rejoices, everyone rejoices with them. Have you ever had good news but no one to share it with? I have. It stinks. It is a weird feeling to have something really good to share, but no one cares enough for you to tell them. Yeah, I've been there. I've absolutely been there. In the circle of Christ, that should never happen, because we rejoice with those who rejoice. When someone mourns, the entire circle mourns with them. We suffer for each other. We say no to ourselves so that we can say yes to each other. We bear each other's burdens. We do all of this out of love, a willingness to suffer out of love. Are you connected to a suffering circle? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 8 through 12. We are hard pressed on every side, just pushed in hard, but not crushed. We are perplexed. I just can't even figure it out. I am just so confused, but not in despair. Persecuted. There's all kinds of arrows. There are all kinds of fingers. There's all kinds of people saying things, doing things against me, but not abandoned. Struck down, just knocked to the floor, but not destroyed. Some of you people need to know this verse right here. You need to start living this. You've been focusing on everything before the word but. You've been focusing on the wrong side of the sentence. We're hard pressed, but not crushed. You haven't been focusing on that. You haven't been focusing, but not in despair, not abandoned. And part of that is circle around you, helping you face it. Verse 10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus. Look at those words. Always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. So then, death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. I want you to understand this, that we carry the death of Jesus in our body to reveal the life of Jesus in our body. We carry the death of him who went to the cross and loved him. And we carry that suffering. We carry that heartache. We carry that pain. Where? In our body. If it's in your body, you feel it. If it's in your body, the story of Jesus on the cross, you feel it. You carry it. It is inside of you. And when you do that, it causes you to live in such a way. It causes the Spirit to come out in you. And that reveals the life of Jesus. Where? In your body. Not in a church building. Not in a conference center. Not behind a pulpit and guy in a suit. No, in your body. Body. Are you carrying it in your body? Are you revealing it in your body? Carry in your body the suffering of Jesus Christ. physically take on suffering, emotionally take on suffering, spiritually take on suffering. Carry it. Don't just feel it right now in this moment. Carry it in your body, which was once tempted for sin. Your body, which was once driven towards self-centered pleasure. Your body will now reveal the life of Jesus. That's what redemption's all about. Taking that body that was used for sin, redeeming it, and now it reveals, like a great light, the life of Jesus Christ. I want to tell you that a church that avoids suffering is a church that will not reveal Jesus. Church houses in America, you listen to that sentence. A church that avoids suffering is a church that will not reveal Jesus. I'm talking to churches that you don't like just anybody walking into your sanctuary, because they might bring problems and it could inconvenience you. And then what would people think? Oh yeah, that happens in churches. Let me tell you, any church that is their heartbeat, that is a church that is not revealing the life and love of Jesus Christ. We got to get it out of here. All are welcome. Let them all come. Come on, inconvenience us. Come on, we are willing to suffer for you and with you, right beside you. We're willing to mourn with you, because it's only in doing this that Jesus Christ is revealed. Jesus Christ is not revealed in beautiful stages. Jesus Christ is not revealed in beautiful sounding praise groups and worship teams. Jesus Christ is not revealed in fancy preaching. He is revealed in suffering. And when we suffer for each other, that is when Christ is revealed. You listen to me, that right now we have a world that is suffering, and they're suffering by themselves because the church isn't there. Church, it's time for us to love. It's time for us to mourn with those that mourn. It's time for us to lift them up. It's time to allow ourselves to be inconvenienced. It's time for us to say no to self-centered temptation and pleasure, and embrace the suffering Jesus revealed to us on the cross. That suffering that we should be carrying in us. I remember when I first got saved. I remember when I first had Jesus Christ forgive me all of all my sins. I felt God's love for me. I felt His dedication on the cross. I have a hard time describing it to you, but I felt it. It moved me deep inside. That Jesus loved me enough to suffer with His hands and His feet. And I carried that. I felt it. But I can also tell you that there were times where I just let that go away and I didn't carry it inside me. I want to bring you back as we're getting ready for Easter week to carry the suffering of Jesus Christ in us, so that the life of Jesus can be revealed in us. Amen. This subject of suffering is the opposite of the world's focus. Our world right here in the U.S. of A. is focused on themselves. Have you been to grocery stores? Do we need to talk about toilet paper? People are hoarding things that they don't even need, out of a self-centered approach. Church, we got to do the opposite. Our world is focused on complaining about the situation instead of finding a way to help our neighbors. Church, we've got to do the opposite. We are called to love our neighbors. Our world is consuming more entertainment than ever before. We're just eating it up constantly. Netflix, YouTube, Disney Plus, bring it on. In fact, the bandwidth is struggling to keep up with all the entertainment that we are consuming. We need to be the opposite. We don't need to be just eating and consuming. We need to be providing. Could we for a moment serve our family? Could we for a moment pick up the phone? Could we for a moment have FaceTime or something else with someone who's all alone, feels abandoned, alone and scared. Our world is frightened by the constant fear-mongering of the media. Yeah, I said it. My gosh. We need to be the opposite. We don't need to be speaking fear. We need to be speaking love and perfect love. It drives out all fear. Jesus came to suffer. What are we here for? Jesus came to suffer. What are you here for? Right there in your house. Why are you here, Christian? Jesus rode through the city of Jerusalem. He embraced the very ones who would betray him, cry out for his death, and completely forsake him. He suffered all of this because they were worth suffering for. They were worthy of his suffering. Those people. When he prayed on the cross, "Father, forgive them," it's because they were worth his suffering and his forgiveness. You are worth suffering for. It was out of love for you that Christ suffered. Redemption Church, is Plano worth suffering for? Is your city, is your community, is your neighborhood worth suffering for? Are your coworkers, is your school, your family, your friends, are they worth suffering for? Jesus on the cross says, yes. What does your life say? What do you say about it? Come on, somebody. Are we avoiding suffering? Or will we embrace the suffering of Jesus Christ? Will you suffer in some prayer right now? We're going to be praying. We're going to be talking to God. Sarah's going to be singing. But I want you talking to the Lord. Will you suffer in prayer? Will you suffer in some repentance right now? Will you say no to sin? Will you be done with sin and embrace the suffering of the Lord? Will you suffer in asking God to direct you? God, what would you have me do? Who would you have me to help? What can I give? What can I place in your hands? All wherever you are, I want you to reach out to the Lord. I want you to pray. If you've got your family, friends around you, I want you to pray together. Go ahead and pray together right now. If you are all by yourself, start to pray to God and start to pray for whoever God puts on your mind. Come on, let's suffer in this moment. Let's embrace God's presence in this hour. God, in Jesus' name, I reach out to everyone in this place, God. Everyone that's listening, everyone. Lord, you are in the room with them. I want them to feel your presence, God. Lord, forgive us, God, of being self-centered. Lord, forgive us, God, for being focused on the wrong things. Lord, help us to bear your suffering in our hearts, God. Lord, and let the love of Jesus, let the life of Jesus be revealed to all right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's reach out to the Lord. God cares about you. God loves you. He wants to answer your prayer. Come on, talk to the Lord in this place. Yes, God. Hallelujah.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.